Jerry Bader Show, 1021. We'll be taking calls in a minute here. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. I want to briefly comment on Dan Henninger's piece, and I want to talk about Congressman Reed Ribble just a minute. First, earlier in the day yesterday, the man seemingly at the center of all of this, Ted Cruz, announced he would not be delaying the debt deal. He would be voting no, but he would not be delaying. Here's how that went.
There's nothing to be gained from delaying this vote one day or 2 days. The outcome will be the same. Every senator, every member of the House is going to have to make a decision where he or she stands. But there's no benefit. I've never had any intention of delaying the timing of this vote. And indeed, I thought it was interesting reading in the papers that much speculation about whether we might delay the timing of the vote. Republican leadership never asked if I intended to delay the timing of the vote. My focus is on the substance. My focus is, I think, where the American people's focus is, which is what are we doing to provide real relief to the people who are hurting because of Obamacare. And unfortunately, today the answer is the United States Senate and the Washington establishment is doing nothing to provide relief for the millions of people who are hurting because of Obamacare.
I saw a tweet from a conservative talk show host who said, ah, Cruz caves, force a primary. He's not doing everything he can, because that's been the mantra. Why wouldn't you do everything you can? Because Ted Cruz knew that it would be pointless. The argument is it's been pointless all along. And that's where Cruz has taken some derision. First of all, there's no point in this. His critics are saying, yeah, Ted, that's what we've been saying all along. Here's the one that's even more stunning, though. Michael Needham, CEO of Heritage Action. And by the way, Michael Needham was profiled in a huge piece in Saturday's Wall Street Journal as he's really the guy behind this. That Ted Cruz might be the public face, but Michael Needham of Heritage, the CEO of Heritage Action, that he was really the mover and the shaker on this. He stunned a lot of people when he said this on Fox yesterday morning.
Well, everybody understands that we're not going to be able to repeal this law until 2017 and that we have to win the Senate and we have to win the White House. But right, and I admire what the House has done for the last couple of weeks. It's unfortunate that the Senate hasn't been responsive to the American people, hasn't listened to all of the harms that are happening because of Obamacare, and really has undercut the House throughout the last 2 weeks. I think that almost every member of the House Republican Conference, if not all of them, is deeply concerned about Obamacare and knows that we have to do something before January 1 to stop it.
Well, that first part, well, yeah, everyone knows we can't repeal it until 2017, took a lot of people by surprise. Their reaction was, well, now's a hell of a time to say that because you're the one that's been saying, got to do it now, got to do it now, got to do it now, got to do it now. Now you're admitting we can't. So I just throw that out there. Two of the driving forces behind it took some derision yesterday for those comments. The big story in Wisconsin on the vote is only one member of, only one Republican member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation voted for this. That was Reed Ribble, 8th District Congressman. I had Reed on earlier this morning. Some of you heard it. He also issued a very long release making his case as to why he voted for it. He is being savaged in emails that I'm receiving. He is being savaged on my Facebook page. Conservatives in the 8th Congressional District, which is northeastern Wisconsin, and I know you, those of you listening on the lakeshore in central Wisconsin, this is outside your direct influence. You're either Petri or Duffy or maybe Sensenbrenner, depending on where you're listening, and they all voted no. But this is a big deal. Reed Ribble last night had one of those telephone town hall conferences. My phone rang. That's what it was. I listened for about a half an hour. I heard caller after caller after caller after caller, many of them elderly women. Congressman, you have to end this shutdown. It's terrible. You have to end this shutdown. It's terrible. And he kept saying, so you want me to vote for this then? So you want me to vote for this then? Well, I knew where Reed was going. Reed claims the shutdown, or if there was a default, it would be catastrophic. And he wasn't going to do that to the economy. But this is the last time. I received an email from a friend. I want to share it with you. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying I want to share it with you. I sat in one day when Reed Ribble met with a high school social studies class and talked about his job. He made a compelling case to them, I forgot the exact numbers, that balancing the budget would probably take a combination of spending cuts and tax increases based on his study of how we got here. He hated the idea of tax increases, but he didn't see a way to do it without seriously disrupting the government as currently structured. I didn't particularly like hearing it, but he did a decent job of defending the position. That makes him less conservative than Ron Johnson or me, but he remains intensely more conservative and, despite the good doctor's famed arrogance, smarter than Steve Kagan. The Democrats understand that you fight the battle with the army you have, not the one you wish you had. They don't declare someone unfit when he or she turns out to be not as left-handed as they'd hoped. Ribble's on the side of fiscal sanity, and for those purposes, that works for me. He's still more conservative than moderate, but he's definitely nowhere near the socialists who represented us for 4 years. You could weaken him by running someone to the right, but I can sense the Dems salivating over that prospect. It would be easy for the next Kagan to win if the conservatives split their votes. Just saying. Friend of mine weighing in on that. But you do go to the war with the army you thought you had. I would say that. Jeff in Green Bay. Jeff, how you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hey, Jerry. I just, in hearing that Reed Ribble voted for this, he's lost my vote. And I don't know why the Republicans actually insisted on kicking this can just a little further down the road when they've shown now that they're just going to cave and they're going to fold and they're not going to stand up to Barack Obama and they're not going to make that stand. So why even try to force negotiation? He's not going to negotiate. He doesn't have to negotiate with these Republicans.
And he won't. And I said that to Reed this morning. He won't. He's not going to. And then Reed's response is, well, if he doesn't, then that's it. Well, but you know he's not going to. And what has happened is, and this is why I didn't like this plan, Jeff, I knew they were going to cave. I knew all along they were going to cave. Ted Cruz knew they were going to cave because it wasn't doable. So you set up a scenario where you know Republicans are going to cave. By the way, those of you who are ripping Ron Johnson a new one, in the end, what was the difference between Ron Johnson and Ted Cruz? What? What was the difference? Ted Cruz wouldn't block this. Aren't you disappointed in Ted Cruz? You're supposed to do whatever you can, right? Whatever you can. Doesn't matter how futile it is. Well, Ted Cruz didn't do whatever he could because he thought it was futile. So now you want a primary challenger to him, right? Well, of course you don't. That's how stupid the criticism of Ron Johnson was. In the end, Ron Johnson and Ted Cruz were identical twins on this. It's what I was trying to tell you. Reed is a different story. Congressman Reed Ribble is a different story. Take more calls on this if we see them in 5 minutes. 406-1360, 888-455-1360, it's 1030.
The Jerry Bader Show.